Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, once again, it's time for the Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. I give you an invitation to stay with me for the next 30 minutes as we play you a song and bring you a message out of God's Word. This will be now our seventh edition of the story of Gilgal, where Israel crossed over Jordan into the Promised Land, a series that I've been working on for some time, and trust that the Lord is blessing you through the studies of this event there in the book of Joshua. Well, let me give you my church announcements there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee. Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor, and we meet on Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school. We have our morning worship at 10:45 beginning, and then Sunday evening at 6 and Wednesday at 7, we invite you to come and be part of the services. Now, we are an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, King James Edition Baptist church. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is soon coming back. That's why I play that theme song every week. I do believe that as a child of God, we should lift up our heads and be watching that eastern sky, because I believe that he could appear at any second. We're seeing this entire world turn against the nation Israel. If you want to know what God's doing, look at Israel. And if you know anything about prophecy, if you know anything about the book of Revelation, you know that just before the whole world turns against Israel, Jesus is going to take the church out of here. And we're just about there. The United States, that has always been the staple friend of Israel, even now, this politician, one of them that's this Harris woman that's running for the Democrat president, she has said it's time for us to rethink our approach to Israel. I can tell you, dear friend, that this country has enjoyed the best days it'll ever see. If we turn our backs upon the nation Israel, we will pay the price. And these folks that just this past week, they went up and took down the American flag and ran up the Palestinian flag, and then they burned the American flag. And that flag that they burned was what gave them the freedom to ride in the street without fear of being shot and killed. If they were over there in Palestine and decided to riot in the street about something, they would be murdered. And so yet, Satan has blinded the eyes of so many. And it's just pathetic that it's turned out that way. But that's the way it is. So, now I want to also remind you that beginning the second Sunday in September, we will be beginning our camp meeting there at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road. We will have the big tent set up there on the church grounds. We will have preaching every night. We will have special singing every night. We will have an old-fashioned camp meeting. If this sounds like something you'd love to be part of and love to participate in, we invite you to come. I believe that the time is short. Whatever we're going to do, we better do it. If you want to worship God, you better do it now. If this crowd that's fighting Israel has their way, they'll stop it. But I'm telling you, they will not stop the church. Jesus said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it, and they're certainly not going to. But they could make it awful tough on us, folks. And I believe that the world, and this country in particular, is headed in that direction. So now we're going to have a song, and then we'll be back with today's message. Hey, as time goes on, I get closer to the camp meeting time, I will get that list of preachers and singers, and I will be sharing that with you. And keep that in mind that week after the second Sunday. And set aside some time to come and be with us. We'd love to have you, and I know the Lord would bless you.
When I think of all the many times I've been spared pain and misery, even when I played the fool, your unseen hand was there protecting me. Though I've had my share of troubles, I must confess to this reality. When I look back on my yesterdays, I have to raise my hands and say, Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to me, and I just want to thank you. You've been good to me, Lord, and I just want to pray. Forgiveness would be mine, and faithful to your promise, cleanse the stain that sin had left behind. Just like it never happened, you held me in your arms so tenderly. You assured me of your mercy, restored me completely. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been good to me, and I just want to thank you. to praise you. You came for me when I was astray. You took me back, all my sins forgave. And I just want to thank you. You've been good to me. You came to me when I was astray. You took me back, all my sins forgave. And I just want to thank you. And I just want to praise you. And I just want to
yes, just going back and remembering how good God has been to you and to me. Listen, if that don't get your motor running, you need to refuel your tank, buddy. I'm telling you, just thinking about the goodness of God and how he blesses us every day, takes care of us, watches over us, and provides for us. Oh, yes, he's been so good to me. Could never thank him enough. Could never praise him enough. Could never give him enough honor. Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for that song. We thank you for the opportunity to be here and for everyone that's listening. Lord, I pray today that as we send this broadcast out, that the word of God will reach the heart of some individual that needs to be encouraged. Lord, that needs to be reclaimed or that needs to be redeemed. I pray, Lord, that you'll just have your way with all that's done, Lord, for those that are sick and for so many that in our church that we continue praying for. Lord, we ask on behalf of each one of them and for each one that's listening that has a need. Lord, I pray for your people today. Encourage us and keep us on the track. Keep us looking up, Lord. Help us not to look around, but to look up and to look to you. Father, I pray today for that one that's lost in near eternity, who may not ever have another opportunity. Lord, I pray that today you'll speak to that heart and put conviction upon them, cause them to turn from their ways and to listen to you and to be saved by your marvelous grace. Now go with us through the broadcast, Lord, and all that you do, we'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Well, this is now the seventh edition of the message from the incident or the events surrounding the crossing into Jordan there at Gilgal, where they set up the two memorials. And we talked about that and talked about what all of that meant. Well, today, last week, we have talked about their resources and we talked about their remembrance. Last week, we delved into what those memorials actually meant. And we said that it meant remembrance. How that as they set those stones of rescue up on the outside there, that if someone was tempted to cross back over Jordan, back into the wilderness, they would be reminded of the mighty hand of God that delivered them out of sin, the wilderness of sin, and delivered them out of Egypt, delivered them out of slavery, and brought them into a land of promise, a land of prosperity, and a land of victory where whatever they did was being blessed, and they were conquering nations. They were putting down wicked kingdoms, and they were just moving on for the Lord, and they wanted to remember them. But then I want us to notice, today I want us to talk about how that the memorial was also a memorial for the fact that their reproach had been cut away. In chapter 5, I want to read some verses this morning. Chapter 5, starting with verse number 1, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, And all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord swear unto their fathers that he would give us a land that flowed with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them all by the way. So it said, and it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now then, God, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, or the place of rolling. That's what that word means, unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So here we have the story, how that after they had crossed over into the promised land, over into Canaan, that Joshua was commanded of the Lord to circumcise all the men that were of age, that were capable of being, of standing, being circumcised. And so the reason for this being is explained, that the ones who had come out of Egypt were circumcised, but them God had not allowed to enter into Canaan. They had wandered around out there in that desert for 40 years until every last one of them died. And the ones that actually crossed over Jordan that went into Canaan were the people that were born, the sons that were born unto those. They had not circumcised anyone during their wilderness journey. I think I can understand that. It would probably take 10 to 14 days for a person to be able to walk and to carry on once that was done, and they did not have provisions. They did not necessarily have a good place to camp in the wilderness to allow that to happen. So they never did do it. However, that was actually disobedience, no matter how much inconvenience it was, and no matter how difficult it might have been, it was still disobedience, because God had set a certain time that those males were to be circumcised. Now then, why is that important? Well, it's because, first of all, God had commanded it, and what God commands is important. Second of all, that was a sign that God had made a covenant with Abraham that would be the sign that would set Israel apart from the rest of the world, because the rest of the world did not do that. And in that 40 years, they had not carried that out. And just one more thing that they had stacked up against them, as they had disobeyed God and had turned their back on him time and time again as they crossed that desert coming to the Jordan River, where they passed over into Canaan. Now then, what in the world does that mean? Well, first of all, it says the reproach of Egypt has been cut away. The word circumcision means to cut away. Of course, in the males, it's the cutting away of the foreskin. But it goes a little further than that. It's symbolic for you and me about something spiritual. And I'll get to that in a minute. But first of all, God told them, he said that you have had the reproach cut away, and that's why we're calling this Gilgal, because you're rolling away the old reproach of Egypt. Now, what was that reproach? Well, first of all, they had sinned in the desert so much, and now they had gotten past all of that. That generation was dead, and this generation had taken Joshua as their leader, had accepted God's man, that had God was the one that chose him. The people just followed him. And now God has commanded him to do this thing, to bring everybody into obedience to his command. And so he did that, and God said, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. And that was the reproach of the sin of the desert, the unbelief, the disobedience, and the curse that fell upon them, that none of those people would get to enter the promised land because of their disobedience and because of their sin. But the second thing was, there was a stigma on the nation of Israel because they had been slaves there in Egypt. They weren't down there on a summer vacation. Now, it's true that when they went there, things were really good. Joseph was the first that went. You heard that story, how that his brothers sold him into slavery. And he was down in Egypt. And when the famine come, the brothers came to buy corn. Joseph recognized them. And in the process of time, he brought them and his father out of their country, down into Egypt. The king was favorable to them because of Joseph and allowed them to live there in peace, and they enjoyed that for a long time. Then Joseph died. That king was replaced, and the next kings that came along did not respect the nation of Israel and therefore made them slaves. And so they had the reproach of having been slaves in Israel. And they had the stigma of being slaves that had come out of Egypt. And God said, this is a sign today. I'm going to roll away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. And it said there in verse 9, he said, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore, the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And Gilgal means the rolling. It could mean, first of all, the rolling of the reproach away. But it also could reflect the fact that old Jordan River was rolling at a tremendous pace when God made the miracle of the crossing so that they were able to come across on dry land and lost not a man. But what does all of this mean for you and me? Well, what had happened was it was time for these people to move forward. It was time for them to become a mighty force in the land of Canaan. It was time for them to conquer things. It was time for them to be victorious. And in order to do that, they had to have the confidence that God was with them. And the only way they could do that was to be obedient to his command and to do what he had said to do, and to bring themselves into the place where they knew God wanted them to be. Now, can I say to you today that you and I cannot be successful in this life. You and I cannot move forward. We cannot conquer anything. We cannot obtain anything. We cannot reach new heights. We cannot grow in the Lord Jesus Christ until the reproach of Egypt, the reproach of this world, is rolled away off of us. Now, how do we do that? Well, a couple of places in the Bible that I'd like to share with you. First one is from Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to the saints at Rome and said this. Well, let's back up verse number 25. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now then, if you see right here, it's more about obedience than it is about the actual act of circumcision. It's about obedience. Because he said, even if you carry out the act, but if you break the law, then that circumcision is worthless. It's made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for a circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He's saying that this obedience, the real part of circumcision that matters, that's inward, that's not outward. It doesn't matter that you've got that sign on the outside. What matters is you have the obedience in your heart. Now listen, I know some folks that think that they can clean the outside up and they'll be all right when they die. Friend, let me tell you, it doesn't make any difference what you do to the outside. What's got to happen is something has got to change inside. And that is that you've got to have that heart melted down until the fact that you come to the place that you confess to God that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved. And just humbly like a little child, come and believe him. Just reach out and grasp the word of God that says that if you come and if you believe and if you call upon him that he will save you and you reach out to him. And then let me share one other thing with you. From the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse number 1, I believe that right here is a good explanation of what circumcision is for you and I in the day we live in. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What's that? That was obedience. That was obedience on the part of our Savior. And he's saying that let us lay aside these weights and these sins, and that's what the circumcision of our heart does for us, friend. It does inwardly change us, so that we do these things not to be saved, but because we are saved. You don't change your life for the better to be saved. You can only change your life for the better after you're saved. You can reform, you can clean up, but what did it say over there at first? Why, I read you in Romans, If you do that, but you still break the law, if you still sin, if you don't respect God's word and God's obedience, then that stuff on the outside doesn't make any difference. It's what's inside is what matters. Friend, I'm down to my last minute or so, and I just want to ask you, how is it with you inside? When you lay down at night on your bed and have your thoughts, you know where you stand. And I want to ask you this. You lay down tonight and go to sleep and you never wake up again in this world, where will your eternal soul be? Will you be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, or will you be in hell? Friend, this broadcast is dedicated to getting the gospel to as many people as I possibly can. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose again. And today He offers Himself to you as a Savior if you will but receive. Now I want to give you my cell phone number once again and ask you to text me any questions or any comments you have about the broadcast. It's 865-776-5872. I'd love to hear from you. Now may God bless you until next week and keep you safe in His arms and in His will. In Jesus' name.